Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to? What are we listening to?
That's a Countdown by Beyonce. Since I am counting down the Grizzlies roster today and tomorrow.
So over the weekend, you evidently made biscuits. Yes.
I did a story on Muddy's Bake Shop a couple months ago. When I was there, I was talking to the owner, Kat Gordon, about their cooking classes, and I decided I should take their biscuit making class. So I signed up then, and I had my class this weekend.
All right. So how had biscuits that you'd made before turned out, and how did these biscuits turn out?
I need more reps. I'd only tried to make biscuits a few times, and I don't think I'd ever done it the same way twice. And so I just got to get into a groove with it. I think my biscuits were pretty good that I made there in class this weekend. I think they could be better. I need to get a few more. I learned a couple of tricks, a couple of tips I hadn't thought of before, and I just need to get some more reps in. I'm going to start making biscuits more frequently.
All right. So, we counted down, the piece is out, and I've tweeted it out, and it is the Grizzlies, you do this most years, I believe, where you count down the Grizzlies' sort of most valuable players, taking all things into account, right? That's the conceit?
It's a forward-looking, not backward-looking. So it's not who was best last season. It is, the general, how you prioritize your players, how you value your players. The conceit is that if there were an expansion draft, you'd only protect so many players. How do you prioritize them? So it's about contract. It's about age. It's about how good they are. It's about what they mean to your team. So it's a total value to the franchise going forward, not looking backward.
Right. All right. So I asked Jeffrey if he could guess who would be last, and he did, in fact, guess who would be last. And John Conchar is not the worst player on the Grizzlies, but he is at $6.2 million for the next 3 years, he is the most burdensome player on the Grizzlies. Yes?
If there were an expansion draft today, not only would the Grizzlies not protect John Conchar, he would be the one player they would be most likely to send draft picks to another, to the expansion team, to get them to take John Conchar. And so, in some ways, the list goes from negative value to neutral value to positive value. It's sort of that kind of arc to it. And Conchar is the most negative value because of the contract.
Is it, in the end, that contract was a mistake, right? I mean, very, very clearly that contract was a mistake. What went into that mistake?
I think they over-projected where he would be in the team's pecking order. And I think they over-projected maybe where the luxury tax salary cap number would land at this point. I think it has not gone quite as high as maybe the projections were 3 years ago. And so it's those two things coming together. The idea was, if he's your 10th man and your ninth, 10th man in your 10 man rotation, and the cap is, $10, $15 million higher than it actually is, then suddenly, it's a good deal. But when neither of those things quite happen, it sort of turns the other way. That said, if that's the worst contract you have on your roster, that's not that bad. You know, they're not really saddled with a lot of bad contracts for a team that's in the tax.
Is there is no prospect of them? I don't know what you'd have to attach to make it go away, but a lot, like more than is worth, probably, right? I mean, it's you know.
Well, just to like literally descend it to a team, descend him to a team that's under the cap. Yeah, I don't see that happening. Now, could it be part of a match salary in a deal? Right. Yeah, that could happen. But in terms of just literally saying to the San Antonio Spurs, no, we'll give you 2 second-round picks if you take Conchar, I don't see that happening.
No one's doing that, yeah. Okay, so number 17, we have 18 players here. Number 17, sadly, Zaire.
Yeah, late-breaking change. When I first wrote this on Friday, and when I put it in the system, and just it was waiting. And Yuta was in that spot initially, but then we had late-breaking developments Friday night, and that altered the list a little bit. I think Yuta went from likely negative to went from potentially negative to likely neutral value when he decided to go back to Japan and make it public.
Why, by the way, did he do like so? Yuta that Friday said he's just going back to Japan. He had the option. Why not take the option, pocket the money, and then go to Japan when you're released?
Well, I don't know. And one thing to be clear about this, because what happens is whenever anything comes out, people immediately start turning it into more than it is instead of sticking to like the actual thing.
Yeah.
You don't, if you have a player option on a contract, you don't decline that player option on social media. You decline that player option by filling out paperwork with the National Basketball Association.
Right.
And as far as I know, that has not yet happened. The implication of him saying publicly he's going back to Japan is that is what is going to happen. But because he puts something on social media, that's not an official declining of an option. And so I think the expectation is that he is declining that option. Because frankly, if you're going to make the Grizzlies pay you to go away before you go back to Japan, you don't announce on the front end you're going back to Japan. That's sort of bad faith. And so the implication, the assumption is he is declining that option. But as far as I know, that has technically happened.
All right, so Zaire owed $6.1 million this coming year, and he is not worth it, right? Also negative value.
I think when you're in the tax, it's sort of the Conchar thing, except it's 1 year, not three. $6 million to a player who would not be in your 10-man rotation if you started playing basketball tomorrow is negative value for a team that's in the tax. And so with the Zaire thing, it could turn in a hurry. I mean, $6 million is not that bad. It could turn from negative to neutral to even positive if he suddenly transforms as a player or whatever. But at the moment, I think that's become a negative value deal.
Okay, the next two, Jordan Goodwin and Lamar Stevens, are both free agents. You did rank free agents anyway. And for both of them, you conclude there is, although they in different ways performed admirably, there's no room for them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way Jordan Goodwin's back. Lamar Stevens, I think, if the Grizzlies' offseason went in such a way that suddenly they just had an open roster spot, you know, is there a chance they would consider, like, you know, putting Lamar Stevens on a vet minimum in that slot? Yeah, maybe, but I don't think that's likely.
All right, we're up to 13. Trey Jemison, team option, two-way. Do you expect them back?
The more I did, and the more I think about it, the more I look at it, the more skeptical I sort of get on that. I think it's viable to bring him back on the two-way, but I just suspect that over the course of the summer, they're going to find something they're more enamored with for that spot. But maybe they do, maybe they won't. I think there's a decent chance he's on Summer League with the Grizzlies, and then we'll see how he does from there.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting you said look out for what they do in the second round. If they pick some developmental second-round big, that could take the place of Trey Jemison. 12 is Derrick Rose, $3.4 million. We've discussed him. We believe he thinks he'll be back. Zach Kleiman has not said so. No one else would necessarily want him at this money, but he has a particular role in Memphis, right?
Yeah, I mean, my sense is that they value the locker room stuff, particularly the John Morant relationship stuff, and that thus he is likely to be back on the team.
Jake has done a nice job elevating himself to number 11 with $3.4 million owed this year, team option $5.2 million after that. What do you positive value now? Neutral value now? Positive value now? Yes.
I feel like it's tipped into the positive value. I mean, you know, $3 million is not much, or whatever it is, and then with a team option beyond that for a little bit more. For a player who I think has some pretty decent dribble pass shoot skills at 6'7", I think there's upside there. One of the pivot points for me in the list in terms of, you know, where I sort of debated on placement was between LaRavia and Scottie Pippen Jr. I have next.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
And in some way, with LaRavia was the higher drafted player. He's bigger. There's more team control beyond just the coming season. But my sense is that the team is a little more solidly into Pippen than LaRavia right now. And so that's sort of where I went with that. It wouldn't shock me to see LaRavia get traded.
LaRavia is at 11. Scottie Pippen is at 10. I was literally going to ask you about that. And one of the differences is that Scottie Pippen has a clear role on this team, right?
Yes, yes. At the moment, at full strength, neither of them would be in the 10-man rotation. So they'd both be just right below that. They'd both be just – like Pippen would be the next guard down, and LaRavia is probably the next forward down. But you look at the players above them, there's more likely to have games missed above Pippen than above LaRavia.
Right.
You're talking about Ja Morant and Marcus Smart.
Right.
Like, these guys aren't playing 82 games. Whereas LaRavia, you know, he's behind Vince Williams Jr., who might play all 82, and Gigi Jackson might play all 82, and some of that. And so I think there's more of a palpable need for Pippen, even though he'll be on the two-way more than likely.
And you don't think it's likely there will be, like, the point guards next year, the likely scenario is it'll be Ja and then Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, whatever, playing on the ball some, and then Scottie Pippen
right.
filling in. Like, you don't expect, I mean, I suppose they could add a player who can play on the ball in the draft too, but you don't expect any other point guard to join the fray.
I don't think they're going to go out in free agency or whatever right. and add a point guard. Like, if, you know, if the draft pops up a Reed Sheppard or a Stephon Castle, things change.
But right.
I don't think the plan is we need another backup guard. I think they feel like with Pippen, they sort of have that.
All right, so we get the top eight tomorrow, but we're up to number nine, and that is Luke Kennard, 14-8, 14-5, whatever. I can't read my own writing. Option, team option. I was interested in this. You don't think that it is likely, because this is a scenario that people have mentioned, that they would – bring him back, renegotiate, and bring him back for something cheaper just because he won't do that? Or you'd have to add years, right?
Well, what's the number? It's, if you get into the Venn diagram stuff of what each side finds acceptable, and how much less is he going to take on per year? And so, like, you know, if he would come back for 3 years at $8 million a pop, yeah, do that.
Right,
but if it's going to be $3 million at 12,
right?
I think the, you know, you get into the same questions about sort of his injury related stuff and you know, pushing money out going forward. And I'm just a little skeptical that it would come down enough for the Grizzlies to want to do that.
And Grayson Allen just got $18 million a year or something like that. I have a hard time seeing that. Do you coin flip whether he's on this team next year? Are you leaning against it?
I think it's pretty coin flippy. I think the team is more interested in having him back than I think a lot of outside observers think. But I just think the financial forces and the roster forces are such that, you know, I think he's playing behind Ja Morant and Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart and Vince Williams Jr. and maybe Gigi Jackson. And so if you're in the luxury tax, are you paying as much as you need shooting? If you're a luxury tax team, are you paying $15 million for a guy that far down the depth chart, you know?
45% from three, as you pointed out, sadly, dropped from leading the NBA in three-point shooting to second. Who was first? Do you know?
Grayson Allen.
Oh, it's Grayson Allen. It's Grayson Allen. All right. So there you go. You can read that piece over at the Daily Memphian. There's eight more, part two, tomorrow. In terms of the playoffs, Chris, what surprised you the most?
Probably that, not that the Clippers won, you know, they're at home, they're the higher seed, but that they won as thoroughly as they did without Kawhi Leonard. I think that was a bad showing by the Dallas Mavericks in game one. That probably surprised me the most.
How about the Minnesota Suns thing? That was fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, Minnesota's the higher seed. They're at home. You got the big home crowd. You know, I picked Phoenix in that series. I don't know if I'd still pick them, but, like, losing game one doesn't, like, you know, the series is not over. I think, you know, Anthony Edwards was great, and Devin Booker was kind of bad. And if those two things continue to happen, Minnesota's absolutely going to win that series. So I think Phoenix needs to get Devin Booker going. And obviously, he's facing a really good defense. All NBA level defender and Jaden McDaniels on him. But I think Devin Booker, that you need like a 35-point a game Devin Booker in that series, not, you know, what you got in game one.
You picked Milwaukee even though they had struggled with Indiana and even though they were out with Kawhi. Is that right? I mean, not Kawhi, but
there's still muscle memory of like a team that won a title a couple years ago and, you know, and some of those guys. And then like Dame Lillard and like I like Indiana, but Indiana's not that good, you know. So Milwaukee should be able to win that series even without Giannis, I think.
Philly, New York, so much depends on Embiid, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just hard to know. Orlando, Cleveland, I haven't talked about that much at all. Orlando looks kind of over their heads in their first outing, right?
The only of the five, if you call Joe Ingles a guard, which at this point, like, I don't think he goes inside the three-point line, so you call him a guard. Of the five guards who played for Orlando in that game, the only one who made even a single field goal was Jalen Suggs, and he shot 4-16.
Oh, my God.
You can't win basketball games that way. Yeah. That's why I just wonder about Orlando breaking some stuff up, because they got to get better perimeter play.
And then the Lakers goes the Lake way you expect. Like, they're just like their best players played well, and Denver's awesome.
Yep. There you go. LeBron is still great. He's not the greatest anymore. That's the dude on the other team.
Is it enough? And we've talked about this a little bit. Like, it's that you have LeBron and Steph, and they are going to be non-competitive for league titles. Is it enough just to have LeBron and Steph be non-competitive for league titles because you get to watch LeBron and Steph if you're in L.A. and Golden State?
I mean, what's your alternative? I mean, right. not having LeBron and
you're
not being,
you're right.
not being
yeah.
competitive for league titles? Like, yeah, give me LeBron.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Metric. Do you have any questions?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.